Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Fantasy Bros Football Podcast. I'm Bobby Sylvester, joined as always by Mike Tagliere. He's back, and we're on Twitter at Bobby Fantasy Pro and at Mike Tagliere NFL. Tags, how's it going, man?
It's good, man. It's good to be back. Had some good guests on while I was gone, so I was a little jealous of the fact that I wasn't on the show, but I'm definitely happy to be back. Thank you, everyone, for the best wishes in regards to my grandfather. I greatly appreciated them, and I'm just happy to be back talking some football.
So, Tags, we've got a really cool show today. Basically, what we're going to do is we're going to move through ADP round by round, and we're going to talk about our favorite values from that round. And we've got a perfect guest to come on. It's Adam Rank of NFL Network. And, of course, he's on Twitter at his name, Adam Rank. You probably already follow him, though. Adam, thanks for taking the time to come on our show. How's it going?
No, thank you so much for having me on. It's always an honor to talk to you and everything. And, Tags, welcome back, man. Definitely missed, so I'm glad that you're back and, you know, ready to talk football. I know it's tough, but we're happy to have you back.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. So we do have just a little bit of news to touch on, but first I want to tell you a little bit about our draft simulator. It is an efficient way to practice for your draft. It's like doing a live mock draft, except you're drafting against our computer simulated opponents, which use a selection of expert cheat sheets and ADP sources. Live mocks are great and all, but it can be a pain trying to get to the mock draft you want, much less waiting for everyone to make their picks. Our simulator can let you finish a mock in as little as 5 minutes. That's not an exaggeration. If you want to test out different strategies or just quickly see what type of team you'll end up with based on your cheat sheet, our simulator is a great option. Speaking of options, you'll be able to take your time with each and every pick or auto-draft the rest of the way. You can even revert picks if you want. Premium members even get added features with our draft simulator, like custom scoring, advanced pick logic. MVP and Hall of Fame members can also practice mocks with keepers and do auction simulations too. Get an edge over the competition and use our draft simulator today at fantasypros.com/simulator. All right, so two quick pieces of news, and they're both with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It looks like Ronald Jones is dealing with a knee injury, which really opens up the running back competition. I mean, I guess it was already open to begin with, but Ronald Jones was probably the favorite. And then Mike Evans, it looks like he's going to be out for the rest of the preseason. Adam just told me right before the show. Do either of these change your mind about how you have the players ranked, Adam?
It really would have. Now, you might be seeing some things on Twitter about NFL Fantasy League 1. It's a brand new thing that we have coming out this fall. I'm going to pull back the curtain for you guys. It's not live. We did the draft on Tuesday, depending on when you're listening to this. It has probably been in the past. I took Mike Evans. I had to choose between Mike Evans and Juju. And I was kind of like, I'm really feeling Evans. And then he's injured. And the thing that bothers me with that, with Mike Evans battling an injury, and it's the same thing with Keenan Allen. It's that they're going to probably be forced to go on the field because they don't have running games, obviously, with Melvin Gordon holding out for the LA Chargers and everything like that. So they're probably going to give it a go because they're professionals and that's what they do. And I'm like, great. So now I have a player who's got a lingering injury for the entire season while they're understudy, be it Chris Godwin, who everybody loves, or Mike Williams and Hunter Henry. Those guys go out and crush it. So yes, I would say I'm very, very upset at myself right now.
Tags, I remember this time last year, we were talking about Doug Baldwin, and I can't believe how good of a value is. And then he got hurt, and it's like, okay, well, his ADP is going to drop. I'm still comfortable taking him in the late third, early fourth round. And it concerns me that we might have the same thing going on here with Keenan Allen, Mike Evans. What do you think?
I'm not really going to buy too much into it. It seems like a lot of teams are resting their starters. You know, like we're at the point in the preseason where a lot of coaches are rooting for two preseason games, and we've seen starters play less and less. Some coaches saying they're not going to play starters at all. I'm not overly concerned about either or. It's just a, like a matter of like if you're torn between two players, maybe you use this as a tiebreaker.
So I did have it really close between Juju Smith-Schuster and Mike Evans. Adam, I'm wondering if you would even take Adam Thielen, Antonio Brown, Keenan Allen over Mike Evans at this point.
Yeah, that's a great one. That's obviously not Adam Thielen. I feel like I am personally responsible for dropping his draft value. And it's not that he's a terrible player or that he's not a fantastic receiver. From week 9 on last year, we saw a dip in his production. And then when Kevin Stefanski took over, those final 3 weeks, and I know it's the smallest of sample sizes and it's really dumb to do this, but it just grew my concern for him. And I feel like where he's being drafted, it's a little too rich for my blood. So I kind of pass on that. But one player you just mentioned in that grouping, though, talking about Antonio Brown, and I know that his helmet issues seem to be finished and everything. I never really wavered on him because, again, it's not like this guy forgot how to play football. And I know everybody's like, oh, he's joining a new team. You're like, yeah, but Amari Cooper joined the Cowboys mid-season last year and instantly turned that team around. Listen, if you try to tell me that Dak is better than Derek Carr, we're going to have, I'm probably too close to it. I'm a Derek Carr stan and I will cape up for him. So I might be a little irrational when it comes to that, but it just kind of reminds me of what happened when Jerry Rice joined the Raiders. And he was later on in his career. He was damn near 40 when he did this. But he made Rich Gannon an MVP type of quarterback. Now, Derek Carr, we've seen him put up MVP-like numbers as recently as 2016. So when you have Tyrell Williams and Antonio Brown, I love it. And I know that's not the question that you're asking. I'm good with taking Antonio Brown in the second round, but I don't feel like you have to because everybody's passing on him.
I'm glad to hear that because we haven't really heard the opposite perspective on Antonio Brown for a while, ever since this frostbite thing happened and the helmet. But you're right. You can't question his work ethic or who he is as a football player. If he's out there, he's going to be great. And it seems like he's going to be out there at this point. And with Derek Carr, oh, Adam, I love that you said that. I'm a Jags fan. And when we needed a quarterback, which has been like forever, right? I wanted them to go get Derek Carr because I think he could be good if he wasn't playing with a broken back and behind a horrible offensive line. I think he's a quality football player. I'm excited to see what he does with a wide receiver core that's better than Jordy Nelson and Marcel Aitman this year.
He remade Jared Cook. Jared Cook is somebody who's what, the tight end 7 in ADP or something like that. Like, he made Jared Cook valuable again. Like, everybody's hyper about him. Obviously, going down in New Orleans helps, but he revitalized his career. And now you also have a running attack with this Raiders offense too. So I'm all about it. I love it.
So you mentioned Adam Thielen and what he did over the final second half of the season. He was wide receiver 28, right around Sanu, Robert Foster, Zay Jones, Adam Humphries. Guys, it was not pretty. That is concerning. Tex, what do you think about Adam Thielen?
Adam Thielen was reportedly dealing with some back issues towards the end of last year. I was listening to some beat reporters talk about it and saying that he was playing through some injuries that he just didn't come to the light. Like, he didn't let it affect his snaps in the field. He wanted to play through it. And by all reports, like, in terms of back fractures, if that's indeed what he did have, I've had a back fracture, and the only way to heal it is to actually just rest. The doctor told me a full month of bed rest, and I don't play NFL. I don't go through car crashes every single week. So Adam Thielen is someone that when I heard that, I moved him up my board a bit. Between him and Stephon Diggs, it's really tough for me to decide between those guys, but it's usually in the third round where it's like that's where we're grabbing a lot of running backs.
All right, guys, so we're just going to get right into it because we've got 15 rounds to get through. So we're going to be talking about over 40 players today. We're going to start at round one. Adam, who are you targeting? Let's say you get past the top four, okay, because it's really easy with those top four. I think pretty much everybody agrees. But who are you targeting at 5 or later in the first round?
I like David Johnson. I'm a big believer in Cliff Kingsbury. I know a lot of people talk about his record at Texas Tech, and you're like, yeah, he was at Texas Tech, bro. Like, that's Lubbock. You understand. Like, you're recruiting against Oklahoma and Texas, and yet he was still getting guys like Patrick Mahomes and Baker Mayfield, at least for a brief time, to go down there and join him because they bought in. And the one thing that I liked about his offense, and it's a Mike Leach actually came into my barbershop, I'm pretty confident, a couple months ago, but that's not what we're talking about here.
He's my favorite person in the world. I want him to go to the NFL so bad.
Same. Oh, yeah. And, you know, one of his proteges is doing it. And one of the things that his offense does is throw to the running back on early downs. So I think that that's going to, I'm really going to boost David Johnson this season. So that's why I've been targeting him at five. And if I'm at 109, there's actually somebody else I've been targeting who's not even going in the first round in a lot of drafts. I don't know if you want me to spill that or you want me to save it for the second. I don't know. I don't want to.
You can't tease us like that. You got to bring it on right now.
Bro, I got Travis Kelce. I love going Travis Kelce around 1-9, 1-10, right in that spot, because a lot of people, what they like to do is like, okay, I'm going to go grab my receiver. I'm going to get Julio, Michael Thomas, OBJ, somebody like that, and then hope that Travis Kelce comes back to me in the second round. And my thought with this was, well, then why am I hoping that Kelce is going to come back on the way back? Instead, just take him, and then you'll still get a top flight wide receiver, because it might not be Julio or Michael Thomas, but you could end up with somebody like Juju, Tyreek Hill, or somebody like that, who's still pretty good. Antonio Brown would be in that mix as well. So I'm like, well, I'll get Kelce either way. I'm going to go wide receiver Kelce. So I like taking Kelce at the very back half of the first round.
I think that's fair if you don't want to take a chance. Now, I've got Kelce in my top nine fantasy football players. I just don't know if you need to take him there. If you're picking at the end of the first round, his average ADP consensus across several sites, and by the way, you can check that out at fantasypros.com/rankings, is number 18 overall behind Tyreek Hill, Odell Beckham. Even Patrick Mahomes is going ahead of him, which is just absolutely bizarre. But I think if you see any difference between Julio Jones, Odell Beckham, Michael Thomas, you get that one at 9 or 10, and then you take Kelce at pick 14. Tags, what do you think about this?
Yeah, Kelsey's really tough for me because I understand the reasoning and like all the logic backs it up in terms of like, you know, at the most unpredictable position, you know, him playing with elite quarterback, you know, they really like outside of Sammy Watkins, Tyreek Hill, we don't know the running back position if they're going to be involved very much in the passing game. Kelce is about as safe as it gets, and I really can't fault that pick from like a VBD standpoint. The question is like, can you hit on those later round running backs, because it kind of puts you behind the eight ball. And understand that if you take a tight end early, you're definitely staying away from quarterback until you get to like the double digit round, because you have some ground to make up at those positions. I will not fault anybody for taking Travis Kelce at like the end of that first round. I just don't know if I could do it personally.
So we were talking about tight end tiers on a show the other day, and a lot of people want to lump in George Kittle and Zach Ertz with Travis Kelce in that first tier, but I think Kelce belongs in the tier all by himself. I think Kelce is further away from Kittle and Zach Ertz than Ertz and Kittle to O.J. Howard and Hunter Henry. So I think this is a very good value in the early second, even late first round.
And I would also say, too, I know that when you look at ADP and you see where Travis Kelce is going and you understand it, but you also have to understand who you're drafting with. Because when I took Kelce in our Fantasy League One draft, Graham Barfield was behind me. I had pick 9. Graham had pick 10. I didn't believe that Graham was going to take Kelce with the 10th pick, but I knew that Kelce was not getting past him on the way back. So that's another thing, too, for if you play in a league where you've played with these guys forever and you know kind of how they draft, you kind of start taking those into account as well. I mean, I easily could have gone Julio and come back with Juju, and that's a great start as well. But I thought that with Kelce, he's such an elite level talent. I wanted to go that way.
That's a really good call. All right, guys, we'll jump on over to Tag's favorites in the first round in just a moment. But first, I wanted to tell you a little bit about Fantasy Draft, the only rake-free daily fantasy site in the business. They've partnered with Hooters to bring you the largest guaranteed rake-free contest lineup in the history of daily fantasy sports, including the $1 million Hooters kickoff. That's right, Fantasy Draft is hosting the first rake-free contest with a guaranteed prize pool of $1 million. Listen, as other fantasy sites continue to raise rake, prize pools are being squeezed, making it harder for players like you to win. Whether you want to call it rake, commission, or management fee, the days of paying 10, 12, or even 15% or more of your entry fees to fantasy companies are over. No longer are you going to lose 30% of your bankroll to the house. Only on Fantasy Draft are 100% of entry fees paid out to contest winners 100% of the time. To access all of Fantasy Draft's exclusive rake-free contests, including that Hooters $1 million kickoff, all you need to do is become a member. Sign up at fantasydraft.com today with the promo code FANTASYPROS, all one word, and you'll get a free 7-day trial membership. That's fantasydraft.com, promo code FANTASYPROS. Don't miss your shot at the incredible $1 million rake-free contest, and it's a $100,000 top prize. All right, Dex, who do you like in the first round after those first four?
Well, I love Rank's first one. Obviously, David Johnson is the number five player. That's where I have him too. And you guys would be happy to know I'm in the middle of an industry draft while we have this podcast going on. And I just got David Johnson as the 12th overall.
Oh, my gosh.
How?
I don't know what's happening.
Is it like a three quarterback league?
No, it's like it's a panic setting in amongst the owners, apparently. And like I said, this is an analyst league. So people are falling off the Cardinals very rapidly, I guess, but David Johnson at 12 overall at the turn.
A lot of people have been asking if you should reach for your wide receiver there, whether it's Hopkins or Adams or Jones. I wouldn't do that. I would take David Johnson number 5 and Zeke number 6.
Yeah, Zeke, the whole Zeke thing's getting uglier and uglier. We're getting closer and closer to the season. I want to see that signing take place. But the player that I would mention outside of David Johnson is Odell Beckham. Just because, like, if you're stuck with a pick at the end of the first round, a lot of times you get there and you're, like, torn between players. I was able to grab Beckham here at 13. I like him at the end of the first round. You're getting wide receiver one upside. You know there's going to be consistency there. The only question mark with Odell Beckham is, can he stay on the field? And we've had questions about Julio Jones before. We don't have questions about Hopkins and Devontae Adams in regards to, you know, they're an injury plague, you know, career or anything like that. But Odell Beckham, the upside is just massive if you're picking in like that 12th spot.
I think the upside's massive, but look how many games he's missed over the past couple of years. He's got soft tissue injuries galore throughout his career. And like I said, I've said this, I don't know, 2-3 weeks ago. I think he has the highest chance of finishing as the wide receiver one. It's a great situation. I think he's the most talented receiver in the NFL, but I'm worried about the injuries.
It's fair to worry about him. I mean, it's been a lot of like soft tissue stuff, and he's been off and on the field. I get that. But at the same time, it's like at the end of the first, a lot of times Julio, Adams, and Hopkins are gone by that time. So this is more about like a value pick in the first round.
So, Tex, what is your ideal situation at the turn? What two players are you hoping to get, Beckham and who?
Honestly, I'm okay with Beckham, Chubb, if you're able to get those guys there. But, I mean, if you get David Johnson at the turn, obviously that's a great pick. But Odell Beckham and Chubb, I know it's two Browns players, but I'm not opposed to being a part of that offense. You know, Chubb is one of those guys, like, I've moved him up to my number, I think number 6 running back slot. So I like him an awful lot.
I would love to get Julio and Gurley, or I would love to get Kelsey there. We just talked about him as well. Adam, what do you think about Todd Gurley at the turn? Is that way too early for you?
It's a little bit too rich for my blood. I understand. Todd Gurley at 70% would probably be, what, a top 10 fantasy running back? I think we've seen that before.
Top six.
You know, I just look at the situation. I just remember the way that it ended last year. And if the Rams are cruising for another NFC West title, or something happens, or Daryl Henderson breaks out, anything like that, whenever there's some question marks around it, I look at some of the guys who are a little bit more automatic. I love Julio Jones. I love Michael Thomas. Even obviously Nick Chubb as well too. So I'm looking in that spot, and I'm usually looking at another wide receiver, because I know that when you get to the third and fourth rounds, and we'll talk about this in a moment, there are some other running backs I like better at that spot. Now, if we're talking about the very end of the second round where you're about to come back through the turn again, okay, we can have that conversation. And I would definitely look at Todd Gurley. I'm value shopping. It's like when you go to Nordstrom Rack and you want to buy something and you're like, okay, it's on a discount, but I can wait for Save the Rack, where it's going to be an additional 25% off. If somebody purchases it before I get that discounted price, so be it. But if I can come back, get that discounted price, I would definitely want to take it there.
By the way, if Todd Gurley only got 50% of the Rams fantasy points last year, he would have finished as a top 12 fantasy running back. Other running backs that I like in this range, Tags, you mentioned Nick Chubb. Dalvin Cook, maybe in the second round. Early second round, I would start to consider him. I'd love to get him in the middle of the second round. So let's move this to transition over to that second round. Adam, who are you eyeing in the middle of the second round?
Well, one guy I guess I should throw out, though, and it's an interesting situation. I always look at the RB1 for the Bengals, and I look at what Zach Taylor was doing with Cincinnati. I'm concerned with some of their injuries. Obviously, they've had injuries on the offensive line. They've had injuries with the wide receiver, AJ Green, of course. But I look at it and I start thinking about what Sean McVay did for Todd Gurley when he took over the Rams. And I'm wondering if the RB1 of the Bengals could have a similar type of season in the first year of Zach Taylor. And so, If you're going for, if you're targeting a running back at that spot, and I know that some of the running backs that'll be in the mix there will be Dalvin Cook, who again has his own injury histories. I would actually think about the Bengals RB right there.
Tags, we've been talking down on Joe Mixon a little bit, but let me ask you this, okay? Going into the 2017 season, we all thought Jared Goff was just horrible. We thought this offensive line was going to be bad. They brought in Andrew Whitworth, so it was an upgrade, but we probably would have said that Todd Gurley was not as talented as we say that Joe Mixon is right now. So do you think it's possible Joe Mixon has top three running back upside if Zach Taylor takes a hold of this offense and just makes it something great?
I don't, and it ties back to the stat that I've given on the show before. Basically, you know, I can't project the Bengals to finish in the top 16 scoring teams in football, and that's a really important stat because
You would have said the same thing about the Rams in 2017, though, right?
I couldn't because this team is missing AJ Green for the first couple games. The offensive line is crap. They didn't add a left tackle. Like they just don't have the talent on the offensive line. We've seen all those guys play. Adding Whitworth was like the most important part on that offensive line. So in regards to like Mixon, I like the player, love the player. But again, if they finish outside the top half of the league in scoring, over the last 7 years, there's been no running back that has finished top six in the NFL in fantasy on a points per game basis who played for a bottom 16 scoring team. That's a really important stat. So I definitely don't want to pass over that. I like Mixon the player. Just the situation is not great.
He talked me out of it. I want to change my answer. No, that's a
Are you changing your answer, Adam? Did you have someone else you wanted to say? Or do you want to give us a late second round guy?
I kind of do now. Well, you know what? I guess my late second round guy would be Antonio Brown, though. That is, you know, again, caping up for him and everything. I still can't believe the disrespect that he got. I understand, like, the headlines with the helmet issue seemed ridiculous. But it's the off season, and we have way too much time and too much content that we have to create for people to get down into the weeds. What he's done since 2013 is unprecedented, and nobody has done it in the history of the NFL. Everybody knows by now, 100 receptions, 1,100 yards, 8 touchdowns every single year. And I know it's a new NFL and everything like that, but at the same time, we're watching the second best wide receiver in history. And I know that people want to drag Derek Carr and act like it's some huge downgrade. But it's certainly not. I implore everybody just to give Antonio, just realize that this guy was a first rounder for the last 5 years. And now he's being dismissed. He's just 30 years old. He's a young guy still. Nobody works harder. I don't know. I'm into Antonio Brown. And again, if I'm the beneficiary of everybody being put off by the headlines this offseason, then so be it.
Sure. I mean, wide receiver one, and then he missed a game and he was wide receiver three, missed two games, wide receiver two, and then last year, wide receiver two again. And you remember what Calvin Johnson did for Matthew Stafford? We thought Matthew Stafford was like this great all-pro quarterback, 4,700 yards every single year. And then all of a sudden, Calvin Johnson's gone, and Matthew Stafford, what is he, QB25? He was worth an Eli Manning last year in Case Keenum. So I think Big Ben has been propped up by that. If you watch Big Ben's tape last year, it was not that impressive. I would argue that Derek Carr Derek Carr wasn't throwing the ball downfield, but like you're saying, Adam, it was closer than most people think. All right, Tags, who do you like in the late second? I'm pulling my hair at this range. Like, I'm either reaching for a guy, or I'm just settling for who falls to him, and I don't feel good about it.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you there. Like, that's where it's like having a pick in the top three. Like, if you have one of those, it's awesome. You have fantasy gold. But when you get to the end of that round, it's like when you feel torn between those players. And I think one of the players that we've already hit on is Mike Evans. I like Evans there as a fine player. I don't think Evans has like top five upside with Chris Godwin's emergence, because I don't think Evans is going to reach that 150 plus target mark anymore. I just don't think that that's in his range of outcomes, especially with the emergence of OJ Howard as well. I do like the Antonio Brown call. If he gets back on the field, you know, there's just so much risk associated with him that I'm worried. The reason I like Antonio Brown is the same reason that Amari Cooper did well when he went to Dallas, is because these guys are natural separators. They give the quarterback a massive target to throw to. I just hope that Derek Carr has learned his lesson to take care of his number one wide receivers. Like, Amari Cooper's inconsistencies in Oakland weren't tied just to Amari Cooper. They were tied to Derek Carr, you know, targeting him on a non-frequent basis. So that's the part that I'm worried about with Antonio Brown. You don't want to draft Damian Williams there at the end of the second. There's just too much risk. So it's really ugly, man. I mean, Keenan Allen is a guy that I would consider there too if I knew he was healthy.
You know, I had a draft today, And I was very fortunate to get Todd Gurley and Melvin Gordon at the 2-3 turn. Now, that's not going to happen very often. We're usually looking at Mike Evans, Antonio Brown, Adam Thielen, Kerryon Johnson, Damian Williams. I don't want those running backs. I would take Gurley in the early third because I don't have to take him in the late second. I mean, let's remember, he was a top five, top six pick before the holdout threat. And I'm not saying he's going to miss the whole season, but even if he misses three games, he's RB16 in ADP right now. We're talking about a top five or top six running back. I think that's a great value. So I wouldn't mind him in the third round, but otherwise I'm probably going Leonard Fournette. I don't feel good about that. I feel like it's reaching, Tex.
Yeah, I mean, I have Fournette as probably one of my favorite picks in the third round. So, I mean, it's tough to not say these players because we have conviction about them. We like them where they're being drafted. And that's part of drafting, you know, understanding where you can get value. Unfortunately, if you have a pick at like the end of the third round, you're not going to be able to get someone like Fournette unless you reach into the second. So that's the problem with snake drafts.
Exactly. Yep. You got to go auction. Not enough leagues do it. I'd say maybe like 10%. It needs to be 50% by this time next year. Okay, guys, we're going to move on over to the third round here in just a moment. But first, I want to tell you a little bit about Flea Flicker. So one of my dynasty leagues last year made the decision to flip on over to Flea Flicker, and I wasn't really sure what to expect, but it's been great. If you're tired of dealing with the same old league update issues or missing features, switch to the fantasy site built for commissioners by commissioners. Flea Flicker offers email and live drafts, fast live scoring, an easy, uncluttered interface, year-round access, powerful commissioner tools, dynasty features like taxi squads and rookie drafts, and fast new modern mobile apps. If you love customization, there's over 125 scoring categories and 12 NFL positions, even including punters, guys. Plus, there's a new ESPN League import tool you can use to port over your rosters and available history with one easy click. Leagues transitioning from any site can be set up in mere minutes using their easy setup wizard and rostering tools. And Flea Flicker has partnered with the top names in the industry, including us at Fantasy Pros, to provide reliable rankings, news, and projections. Best of all, Flea Flicker is 100% free. So go to fleaflicker.com/pros today to discover why thousands of leagues have switched over this season. That's fleaflicker.com/pros. One more time, fleaflicker.com/pros. All right, Adam, so who are you looking at in the early, mid, third round?
Oh, man, I don't want to steal the thunder and talk about Leonard Fournette. Let me get in a quick point, though, before we do. I understand he had some injury concerns last year. There's injured to where you won't return because Blake Bortles is your quarterback. And then there's injured, like, hey, we have a good team, I'm going to get back on the field. It's kind of like when you're hungover, like you're too hungover for work, but you're not too hungover to go golfing. I think it's kind of the same thing. Like if Blake Bortles or Nick Foles is your quarterback. So I feel a little bit more comfortable with Leonard Fournette. And, you know, it's one of those instances too, because a lot of times you think of running backs coming in and having a huge impact on a young quarterback. This is like the reverse, where a quarterback can come in and give some credibility to the other part of your offense, which actually should make it a little bit easier for Leonard Fournette this time around. But, and I don't want to talk about him too much, I feel like I said so much for not wanting to step on anybody's toes.
Can I jump in really quick with Leonard Fournette? I mean, first of all, he was dealing with he was fighting with the coaching staff. He had an offensive line that was all banged up. And when he plays, he's going up against a stack box like every single play. So if that changes this year, yeah, I think he's got tons of upside. We know he's going to touch the ball a ton, Adam.
Oh, absolutely. I think he's going to be a big focal point of that offense. And I think that anybody who can get past their hesitation, and I understand once you're burned by a player, they go onto a list for you of the never draft and never again. And that's understandable. We're human beings and we have emotional reactions. But I really do believe that Leonard Fournette's going to go out there and be great. And by the way, not to name drop, but not enough, and I hate to do it, but not enough to keep me from doing it. I was with, for part of the league, well, I don't even know if I can announce, well, Cody tweeted it out. So for part of Fantasy League One, there's a celebrity element to it. Cody Rhodes and his wife, Brandy, were here representing AEW All Elite Wrestling, which is owned by Tony Khan. So I made the joke, like, you guys have to take Leonard Fournette. And he was saying, yes, we're kind of obligated to do it. They're down in Jacksonville. They, not that they're insiders, but if their owner's pushing them on it, I'm like, okay, that's stupid. But I'm like, okay, I'm in. But one player who I took in the third round in that same draft was I went Aaron Jones, and I'm a Bears guy, and I'm not afraid to admit it. I went with Aaron Jones, and I think that it's going to be an interesting situation for first-year coach Aaron Rodgers. I know that some people will say he was the interim coach last year, but at the same time, they have to get Aaron Jones involved. It's fun to watch Aaron Rodgers go, well, for most people, not me, but it's fun for a lot of people to watch Aaron Rodgers put up the prolific stats that he did, and he never throws interceptions, and all that stuff is fun. But if you want to win games, you got to start running the football. And we saw how talented Aaron Jones is and what he can do on the field. And I think when you have guys with him, like Aaron Rodgers and like Davante Adams, you got to get them the football. And I really do believe they're going to be committed to that this year. And if Matt LaFleur has any input, which he probably doesn't, but if he does, he saw at the end of last season what happens when you give your good running back the football when he was coaching Derrick Henry. So I think that Aaron Jones is a tremendous value in the second round.
Tags, you love this, don't you?
Oh, yes. This is a fantastic take. This is like opposite of the Joe Mixon one where it's like you want to, like, you get into the third round. This is where you're chasing that upside. You're looking for a guy that could potentially finish as a top six running back. And Aaron Jones has that well within the realm of possibilities. Guys, if we go back to the Eddie Lacy days, he was someone that was finishing as a top six fantasy running back alongside Aaron Rodgers. You know, even looking at back at last year, I was going through NFL's next gen stats, and Aaron Jones was seeing stack boxes less than 15% of the time. It was one of the lower rates in the league, and it's not because he's not talented, but it's because the Packers will go three wide an awful lot, and they do have Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, which means you're not going to leave him one-on-one with his wide receivers. So I actually love this call. Aaron Jones and Leonard Fournette, I'm struggling choosing between the two. Fournette's the safer pick, whereas Aaron Jones is like the high upside pick. These are my two guys in this range.
Which is funny to say because most people think Fournette is so risky, and he does have more injury risk than Aaron Jones and other guys in this round, but we know who Fournette is if he plays, and if he doesn't, so what? You just go replacement level player. I mentioned Melvin Gordon in the early third round. I can get him most of the third round, and if he's not there, I guess I'm reaching for Chris Carson in the late third, or maybe one of these wide receivers, Stephon Diggs, Brandon Cooks. I don't feel great when I do that, but I can usually get Melvin Gordon or Chris Carson. You know, we've been talking about this. Every expert over the last month who's come on is like, Chris Carson's my guy, and yet here he is. ADP running back 20. I don't understand why he's going so late.
Yeah, and a report came out today that he is pulling further and further away from Rashad Penny, which doesn't really surprise us. It shouldn't surprise us.
And it's not like he's hurt anymore either. That's the reason that he dropped from running back 14 to running back 20, and it just hasn't come back up.
Yep, I'm all in on Carson this year.
I was just going to say, I don't think Seattle runs enough.
So, Adam, who are you going with at the 3-4 turn?
Well, I like Aaron Jones. It really is. There's a conglomeration of Fournette. I actually put Jones ahead of Fournette. Actually, I would go Jones, Carson, Fournette. I'm comfortable with all three of those players. And, of course, even if Kerryon Johnson – I haven't seen Kerryon Johnson quite get to the third round in a lot of my drafts. He always goes at the end of the second round. But I think with those three guys, I'm very comfortable – or comfortable. I'm making my own words up. And I would definitely take them all ahead of Damian Williams. So,
yeah, I think you're going to get one of those three guys as well. What about in the fourth round? Who are you eyeing?
Well, it's interesting because David Montgomery is probably going to start slipping into the third round, especially with Matt Nagy's recent comments that he wants to lessen the workload of Tariq Cohen, which was one of the big roadblocks for everybody of why they didn't like David Montgomery as much. Like, well, Tariq Cohen's there. And you're like, yeah, I understand that. Tariq Cohen was there last year, and Jordan Howard still ran the ball 250 times. So it's easy for me to look at that team and be, okay, David Montgomery should carry the ball 250 times. He's a better receiver than Jordan Howard out of the backfield. The Bears could be better offensively, for as good as they were last year, they could have been better offensively. Their third down efficiency wasn't very good. They were not very high in the league in first downs gained and things like that. They had way too many three and outs and shorter drives than they should have for a team that was as good as they were. They really didn't move the ball as well as you would have thought. So if they can switch that around, and even if the scoring isn't up, as long as they're moving the sticks more, that means more opportunity for guys like David Montgomery. Even with Mike Davis there, I'm not concerned about that. I hear Mike Davis too, but I think the whole Mike Davis thing happened before the draft. It's kind of like when you're invited to a party and it's a 2 o'clock party and you don't know if they're going to serve food. So you stop by Taco Bell and you don't need a full meal, but you eat something small just in case there's no food. Just get me through the afternoon. I think that's what Mike Davis was. It was kind of a security blanket if they weren't able to acquire somebody in the draft. But I think now that they got David Montgomery in camp, they're ready. They're ready to go with him. And I think that I feel like a lunatic saying the fourth round now, because I think he's going to slip into the third. But yeah, I'm going to cheat and use that right here as my pick.
Isn't it amazing? He was going in the sixth round just a couple weeks ago, and now he's coming up, and everyone's the consensus is all in agreement. Yeah, take him in the early fourth, late third. I don't quite have him there just because that's Chris Carson range for me, but I'm not going to fault anyone for saying he's going to be better than Jordan Howard, who's been a top 20 fantasy running back three straight years.
Yeah, I love this call. Rank and I have been like in sync ever since the whole Joe Mixon blunder. But Chris Carson, by the way, is right now his ADP is 47 overall, so he's at the end of the fourth round. So I'm gonna totally steal a page out of Rank's book and say, even though his ranking keeps going up, I'm going to cheat and I'm going to say Chris Carson's a fourth round pick. If you want to take him at the beginning of the fourth, yeah, like he's worth a third rounder, but I'm going to go with him here in the fourth round. I would take Carson over Montgomery, and Carson is currently going after Montgomery.
If I have to take Carson in the third round, the fourth round gets pretty ugly quick. I wouldn't mind getting David Montgomery. It's too high for AJ Green for me. Brandon Cooks probably isn't there. So I guess I'm reaching for Sony Michel. I don't love it. I mean, his ADP right now is 53 overall, running back 25. I think they're going to use him more in the passing game. That's what the Patriots are telling us. And Sony Michel in 16 games started last year, including the playoffs, 1,267 rushing yards, 12 touchdowns. That's near the top of the league, guys. And if they start passing the ball to him, he's going to far outperform his running back 25 ADP.
Yeah, I could see that. I do know that he's had some off-season issues with his knee, and they drafted Damian Harris and all that stuff. And I still believe, I know that everybody always likes to make a big thing about the Patriots like to do all these crazy things with their running backs, but they're really predictable. Once those guys get into their defined roles, they're really predictable. And if Sony Michel can stay healthy for an entire season, I think you're spot on with the way you're thinking.
Yes. Hold on a second. So would anyone be shocked if Sony Michel finished with double-digit touchdowns? In fact, I would make the argument, if you were to put down a list of eight running backs who are likely to hit double-digit touchdowns on the ground, Sony Michel is on that list. And when was the last time a running back scored double-digit touchdowns and finished, you know, outside the top 15 running backs? You're getting Sony Michel in the fifth round, sometimes sixth round in drafts right now. It's kind of crazy. And fortunately for you, you can also get a cheap handcuff if you want to in Damian Harris.
Yeah, and he's got to be healthy. That's the thing. If he is healthy, I would put the over-under in his touchdowns at 8.5, 9.5. He's really talented. This is a great offense for him to be in. They don't throw the ball quite as much anymore, and this is a steal in the fifth round. So who do you like in the fifth round here, Adam?
If he stays healthy, I would actually set the over-under on like 10.5 touchdowns.
Would you really? Okay.
Yep.
All right, Adam, so who do you like in the fifth round?
I know we should have talked about him in the fourth. Are we going to be in trouble because we didn't mention Chris Godwin? Because I feel like every single, you always are required to talk about him. But you know what? Listen, everybody knows about him anyway, so he's a fourth rounder. You know who I like in the fifth, though? I think he's borderline fifth or not, but I love Cooper Kupp. And I think that he's going to have a huge season for the Rams. What we saw last year, if he would have finished the full season, I think he would have been one of the top receivers in the game. He would have been a full-on breakout. But because he missed the last half of the season, it kind of gets forgotten about. But I think the good thing is that he wasn't on the PUP list to start the season. So he's been a full goal at training camp. He's been out there. He's been part of the offense. I would even contend that he was probably the most valuable player of that offense last year because that team looked a lot different without him. And even though that guys like, Josh Reynolds tried to go out there and were admirable in their attempts, and they tried to get the tight ends a little bit more involved. Gerald Everett was there. They tried better, you know, tried to get more guys involved, but nobody seemed to match what Cooper Kupp was able to do to this offense. So I do believe that he's going to come in and pick up right where he left off last year, and a lot of people are sleeping on him, but I'm very excited to get him in the fifth round.
I'll tell you what, if he does that, he is going to be the biggest steal of any draft. He's going to be on the most championship teams. Going into week six last year, before he got hurt in week six, Antonio Brown, wide receiver 6, Devontae Adams, wide receiver 5, DeAndre Hopkins, 4, Michael Thomas, 3, Cooper Kupp, number 2. He was great, guys.
He was, and according to Sean McVay, he's faster after his torn ACL.
And by the way, I don't know if I believe that. By the way, Adam Thielen was number 1. I don't want to leave you guys on the edge there.
Oh God, I was going to go look it up right now. I'm like, who's number one? That's right. Of course it was Adam Thielen because he was on a stretch of 100 yard games in a row. Like, what was it? 8 in a row?
I don't recall, but it was a long time. He was dominating every week.
Yeah, that's true. Again, he just kind of gets forgotten. People are like, oh yeah, that's right. But you're like, no, he was really good. He was a huge part of it. And you know, sometimes these quarterbacks just get a connection with certain receivers. You know, it's kind of like Tom Brady, Julian Edelman, like that type of relationship. And I know Julian's got to be going in the fourth, but it's just one of those guys that I think you're going to be able to rely on each and every week. And again, this is, I'm actually leaning towards people that I drafted in this fantasy league one that I keep trying to put over. And I, you know, I probably reached for him too, I think, but I, you know what? I was just happy to have him. I think, especially in PPR, he's going to be such a monster.
Tex, if I can't get Sony Michel, I guess I'm going Hunter Henry in the late fifth, unless Mike Williams or Calvin Ridley is still there. I wouldn't mind either of those guys. Who do you like in the fifth, Tex?
I'd take OJ Howard over Hunter Henry. And he's going in the fifth round right now. Like, he's someone that if he falls into the fifth, I'm seriously contemplating him. He's a 54 overall right now on average. In some sites, he's as low as 58. So he's almost sneaking out of the top five rounds, actually. So Howard is someone that, like, if we're talking about him next year in like that Kittle Ertz area, I would not be shocked at all. The dude is just ridiculously talented. He just needs to stay on the field. If you want to look outside the tight end conversation, I guess Mike Williams, you know, we're talking about Keenan Allen, the fact that he's dealing with multiple injuries and he's going to be held out the rest of the preseason. We're talking about, you know, Tyrell Williams going over to the Raiders. Now we have Derwin James that's hurt and potentially out for the season. That definitely dings that defense on the back end. So are they going to be throwing the ball a bit more? Mike Williams he might be the new Dez Bryant, where he's like a guy where it's expecting touchdown regression, but he continually scores double-digit touchdowns. He's a very, very large man, and he happens to have one of the game's best quarterbacks throwing to him. I don't think 100 targets is out of reach, and I don't think double-digit touchdowns is either. So landing him as your, you know, wide receiver three at some points, I like Mike Williams.
He's ADP wide receiver 24 last year. That's where he finished last year, and he only played like half the season. He was behind Tyrell Williams. Now, granted, he had all those touchdowns, but like you're saying, I mean, the coaching staff thought he was a defensive end walking behind him last year, and then they tried to turn him around to talk to him, and it was Mike Williams. Like, that's how large this man is.
Yep.
I was also going to say, I touched on this briefly, where you have guys who are going to be battling injuries. Like, if Keenan Allen is injured and it's something that he's going to be fighting through, it could be one of those things that Keenan Allen's on the injury report all year and you get to Friday and you don't know whether he's going to play or not. And then you're like, okay, he's playing. But then, you know, you start him because, you know, you're compelled to. But then it ends up being somebody like Hunter Henry or Mike Williams who goes out there, especially too. We don't know how long Melvin Gordon is going to be out. And one of Melvin Gordon's biggest strengths is as a receiver out of the backfield. So if Melvin Gordon is out, then that means that role is taken over by Mike Williams and Hunter Henry, which leads me to believe that Mike Williams is not going to regress touchdown-wise.
All right, guys, we're going to move on over to the sixth, and we're going to pair the sixth and seventh round together just so we can make sure we get through all the rounds. But first, I wanted to tell you a little about Hooters. A fantasy draft day party is only complete with food, drinks, and friends. Hooters wants to help your league take draft day to the next level by hosting your draft at one of their locations. Hooters gives you $200 in coupons that get you through the entire regular NFL season, one for each week, and come with a free draft kit. Hooters is the place to watch football all season long. TVs everywhere, great wings, and of course the Hooters girls too. In most locations, they've got a discounted food package called the MVP Bundle. It's available for $39.99, and the retail cost is $75. That's going to give you 50 wings and two appetizers for $39.99. Have your draft party with the Hooters girls, their world-famous wings, and ice-cold beer in a fun atmosphere. Let the good times roll and be the commissioner that made things happen by reserving your draft party at Hooters today. Go to fantasypros.com/Hooters. It is that easy. One more time, go to fantasypros.com/Hooters. Okay, Adam, into the sixth and seventh round, why don't you give me a target for both of them?
I've really started to come around on Latavius Murray. Believe he's going to have a role in this offense. And I know it's tough in PPR to have running backs who don't catch the ball. And it's going to be difficult because Mark Ingram was able to retain some of his value because he was a excellent receiver out of the backfield. Latavius Murray is not going to be that guy, but he's still going to be counted on, especially as New Orleans tries to run the ball a little bit more effectively this coming season. So you're looking at round six. This is your RB2, perhaps a flex guy. I'm feeling confident with him moving forward. And when we go into the seventh round, if you missed out on one of those tight ends, one of the guys, and I'm probably guilty as anybody of inflating this guy's value, but Vance McDonald is somebody who I keep an eye on as well. Obviously, he's been around for a while. It's not like he's some third-year guy on the cusp of breaking out. He's been around for a while and hasn't really produced to great levels or anything like that. But I think the situation in Pittsburgh, I'm confident that the Steelers will still go out and score points. Now, obviously, Juju is going to be their number one wide receiver. We're hopeful that James Washington is going to be the number two guy and pick up the slack that is left behind. We've seen in the early going of the preseason that he looks like that is going to be the case. James Conner is a capable receiver out of the backfield, but he's not quite the receiver Le'Veon Bell is, which leads me to believe that there's going to be enough of a role for Vance McDonald to actually emerge as the tight end six, seven, being in that range. So again, this might be a little bit too early, but I think that people like me have been inflating his value. So I do like Vance McDonald as kind of a late round tight end if you've missed out on the initial run.
Tags, I feel like this range, round 6, 7, 8, that's where you go start to get your guys. Latavius Murray, he's my number two must draft player. My number one, as you guys know, is Justice Hill. But Latavius Murray has around 8 ADP. I'll take him in the sixth round if I need to, no doubt about it. And he talks about Vance McDonald. If you miss out on those six tight ends, we both like Vance McDonald. How early would you consider too early to take him, Tags?
Well, Vance McDonald, he's already hurt, and this has been the concern with Vance McDonald throughout his career. He hasn't been able to stay on the field, and that was part of the risk baked in, and that's why it was like I was unwilling to draft him over guys like David Njoku, just because it's like I know there's breakout potential with both those guys. Njoku has been able to stay on the field. He's younger. McDonald, again, there's already an injury. It seems like he's probably going to be ready for week one, but it's just concerning because he's never been able to stay healthy. So if I miss out on those top six guys, I'm playing the streaming game, or I'm going to like grab Jimmy Graham late or something like that. But in this range, dude, it's like I keep looking at it and I'm befuddled that James White falls into the pick 65 right now. That's just ridiculous. In the sixth round, I've mentioned before, in PPR drafts, he's a fourth rounder, and in half PPR and standard, I think he's a fifth round pick. He's going right next to Tariq Cohen, the guy who they just announced that he's going to lose touches in the offense, whereas James White is the guy who's continually involved in that offense. And the correlation between him and Rob Gronkowski out of the lineup is just ridiculous. So don't worry about Josh Gordon because the targets don't correlate so much there, but it's more about Rob Gronkowski and then them not having a significant tight end that's going to steal those targets from James White.
And James White was RB8 last year. I absolutely agree. I'm taking him in the fifth round in most cases. If he's there in the sixth round, it's a no-brainer for me. I also mentioned Latavius Murray. If I don't get James White, I go straight to Latavius Murray, even though his ADP is outside the top 90. I'll take him in the sixth round. I don't care. Alshon Jeffrey keeps falling in drafts. I've got him in my top 20 receivers. His ADP is wide receiver 29, so I don't mind him in this range so much. After that, it's maybe I'll start looking at a quarterback and go Cam Newton. If he's not there, I would go get Corey Davis or Josh Gordon.
Adam, what's your take on Corey Davis? Because like I've been a big fan of Corey Davis, the player. I hate the situation. I landed him in an auction this weekend. I got him for $9. So I felt like that's when like I was willing to, like, obviously I'm not paying a seventh round price for him or anything like that. What do you feel about Corey Davis and being tied to Marcus Mariota?
Yeah, that seems about an appropriate price. And I'm with you. You know, I guess we veered off again with Vance McDonald, but we can come together on Corey Davis because, again, I love the player at Central Michigan. Loved him coming into the NFL. I'm a Mariota guy. I liked him at Oregon. I was really hopeful that he was going to be able to translate to the NFL. It just hasn't happened yet, obviously, and I'm not sure that it ever is. And so I look at this I look at this Titans offense. All of it just screams stay away for me. It stems, obviously, Taylor Lewan's going to miss the first four games of the season with a suspension. They upgraded Arthur Smith to the offensive coordinator, and he started off as a tapes guy, a quality control, who worked his way up to tight ends coach, and now he's, you know, they've gone through so many offensive coordinators, they just want to start to find some consistency, so they grab somebody who's been there forever, so hopefully Mariota will have a little bit of a comfortable factor there. And then Mariota is also going to be battling with Ryan Tannehill. I mean, you don't go out and make a move like bringing in somebody like Ryan Tannehill unless you're willing to pull the trigger almost immediately. So I look at that situation and I just want to stay away. I think that division has gotten a lot better. I look at the Texans and the Colts and the Jags as three teams who are competing for playoff spots. They all have good defenses. And so I look at the Titans offense and I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to be the guy who reaches on Derrick Henry. I'm going to make sure I don't do that. I want to, but I'm really fighting myself not to. You got to have a little portion control and things like that. So I'm looking at it. I'm looking at Corey Davis, and I'm just going to have to pass.
All right, guys, on to rounds 8 through 10 here in just a moment. But first, did you guys know we're on Instagram now? A lot of you guys probably think Instagram is just all about pictures and stuff, but we're giving hard-hitting fantasy advice on Instagram now. Every time a news item comes out, Tags or I, or both of us, are going to be giving a 30-second clip talking about how our rankings have adjusted and what we think for these players the rest of the season. So you can follow us on Instagram at FantasyPros, and Tags and I are at the same handles as we use on Twitter, at MikeTagliaNFL and at BobbyFantasyPro. All right, guys, we're moving outside the top 85 ADP, rounds 8, 9, and 10. So, you know, the range where Greg Zuerlein and the Chicago Bears start to go. Obviously, that's not who we're taking. Adam, who are you taking?
I'm looking at Dede Westbrook. I think that he's going to be a nice fit with Nick Foles. Geronimo Allison is also in this range as well. I know a lot of people are targeting the slot receiver for the Green Bay Packers. So I think that's a fun one to go to. I think those are 8th round guys. I think when you start getting into the 9th round, obviously, Emmanuel Sanders is still sitting there, and I anticipate this going up a little bit now that we've seen him go out there and run really well on the field. I know his big catch on Monday night was called back because of a penalty, but he's somebody that you look at and you're like, oh, wow, like that is somebody that I'm starting to believe in. And again, when you get to the 10th round, you're looking at players. Go get your guys, what you were talking about a moment ago. And James Washington, I'm getting more and more enamored with this idea that the Steelers are going to throw the ball an awful lot more. Even though they've made some improvements defensively, still believe that they're going to be a lot of shootouts. And I think that Ben Roethlisberger is that kind of player who's like, you know what? I'm going to go out and prove my point. And I'm going to show Antonio Brown that I didn't need him. They have revenge bodies. You know, I think that we have revenge quarterbacks who just go out there and like, oh, I'll show you. I didn't need you, AB. So I think that Juju and James Washington will be the benefactors. And of course, I talked about Vance McDonald a moment ago. So obviously, I'm buying into this offense.
You know, if it was any team but the Steelers, I probably wouldn't buy into that narrative. But Big Ben, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, oh, yeah, it's got to be true.
You know what's crazy about this, like, conversation we just had? You just mentioned Dede Westbrook and Geronimo Allison. Like, can we just, like, stop for a moment and say, why are people drafting Dede Westbrook at 93 when Geronimo Allison is going at 126? They're both starting wide receivers and 3 wide receiver sets. They're both playing the slot. One plays with Nick Foles, one plays with Aaron Rodgers. You tell me which one you want. Like, seriously, like, I don't understand.
I want the one who was on pace for 1,150 yards last year before he got hurt. That's Geronimo Allison.
Yeah, Allison, when he's been in the lineup and seen, like, at least 3 targets with Aaron Rodgers, his numbers are top 30 wide receiver numbers. And why do I say more than 3 targets? Because you don't want to use him when, like, basically when he was in a backup role, seeing a target or two per a game, you're not going to use him in those games. But we know he's a starter. We know he's playing that slot role. We know that Aaron Rodgers has targeted slot receivers over the course of his career, like higher than a regular quarterback does. So Geronimo Allison has legitimate top 25 upside, whereas Dede Westbrook, the best case scenario for him is like wide receiver 3 territory, which is where he's being drafted. So I don't understand the gap between those two. Allison, in my opinion, should be going before Dede Westbrook.
By the way, I want to point out, I was basing that on the draft order because I was looking at the ADPs, and Dede was higher, so I mentioned him first. But I agree 100% with everything you said about Geronimo Allison. And I've seen some drafts where MVS goes higher than him, and I'm like, what are you guys doing? Geronimo Allison, I hate to cape up for a Packer, but this guy is good. Like, he is going to be a good receiver this year.
Man, Tags and Adam just love the Green Bay Packers. What is it with them?
We like winning fantasy football and fantasy football. So even though we're Bears fans, we can appreciate the fact that they do supply us with plenty of fantasy points.
Like, last year was perfect to where the Packers didn't make the playoffs, but like Aaron Rodgers was still excellent. Davante Adams was still good. You're like, this is exactly what I need. Yeah. Good offense, don't make the playoffs.
For sure.
All right, so Tex, you mentioned Geronimo Allison. We're both probably taking him in the 9th or 10th round. Who else do you like in the 8th through 10th round?
Yeah, one player that's continually undervalued, and I know it's boring, but I'll take Larry Fitzgerald as my wide receiver 3, wide receiver 4 every day of the week. People want to continually search for, like, Andy Isabella, or they want to say, what about Keyshawn Johnson? What are you buying on him? And stop. Like, guys, like, Kyler Murray needs a sure-handed receiver, a guy that knows how to run routes, a guy that knows how to get open. Larry Fitzgerald is that guy. Like, he's a safe player. He's not going to finish as a top 15 fantasy wide receiver, most likely. I'm not going to say it's like impossible because Larry Fitzgerald has proved everybody wrong before, but
he did 2 years ago. He was wide receiver 9.
Yeah, but again, going back to the whole conversation about Dede Westbrook, Larry Fitzgerald's going after Westbrook. And I mean, I think the range of outcomes, if they're running 70 plus plays per game, it does have Larry Fitzgerald as a potential wide receiver 2, especially in PPR. So comparing him against someone like maybe like a Corey Davis, I think that's a fair comparison. And I'd put Corey Davis in the possible wide receiver 3 category. So Fitzgerald going, you know, around pick 100, I just feel like it's rare to find a player that safe that far down the draft.
I'd rather go Dante Pettis. I think that he's safe and has more upside than Larry Fitzgerald.
I don't think he's safe, man. They're saying he might not even start. I think he will.
He's playing every single snap with the first team this preseason, every single one.
But he also played into the second quarter, which is never ideal when you have a starter.
I suppose. All right. So other guys that I like in this range, I mentioned Corey Davis. Curtis Samuel, I would love to get him. Marvin Jones, wouldn't it be bad? This is where I'm really targeting my depth wide receivers, wide receiver 4, wide receiver 5. And then after that, I'm going to running back. So a couple other guys that I like in this range here. Kiki QT, Golden Tate. I think once they come back, they're going to be reliable each week. We mentioned Geronimo Allison. And then the one running back that I'm getting in the 12th round, 11th round in a lot of cases, Adrian Peterson. It looks like he's going to be starting for Washington. Darius Guy still isn't playing full contact football. And Adrian Peterson had over 1,000 rushing yards again last year. So he looks great on tape so far this preseason. I'll ride him for 4 weeks while he's the starter. And so what? I just wasted an 11th round pick. Who cares?
I love that pick. I grabbed Adrian Peterson yesterday as well in their NFL Fantasy League 1 draft. And it's one of those things, I call it the Smash Mouth effect. And in the 90s, I loved the band Smash Mouth. And a couple summers ago, I saw them for free on Fremont Street in Las Vegas at a discounted price. And I'm like, yeah, that's what Adrian Peterson is. Like, he's not who he was 10 years ago. But you know what? He still goes out there and rocks. So I'm here for it.
I like that. Okay, guys, moving out into the 11th through 15th, 16th round. Adam, why don't you give us just a few late round targets that you're trying to get in a lot of leagues?
Well, I think Peterson is one of my biggest ones, but then you start looking at some of the running backs who aren't starters right now, who could potentially be at some point this season. I think that Alexander Mattison presents himself an interesting opportunity in Minnesota for a team that wants to run the ball now. And Mike Zimmer has made it clear when he got rid of DeFilippo that he wants to run the football. Dalvin Cook has never had the ability to stay healthy during his NFL career. So I look at him as somebody who kind of is a standalone value, as somebody who could eventually just come in and be a stud. And I don't necessarily like to load up on players like that because I would prefer to go with starters. But I think Alexander Mattison and Darwin Thompson are two interesting players. Or else, you know, you could look at somebody who is going to be a starter and Tyrell Williams. Now, the biggest knock on him is that he's a deep threat. And Derek Carr, you know, if you look at next gen stats, he's one of the quarterbacks whose air yards are near the bottom every year. And that's understandable. But I think that he's somebody who could end up being a great value for you, as is somebody like Michael Gallup, who, again, is going to be a starter, or even Cole Beasley. You know, not to make too much of what is happening in preseason, but you can't argue with the chemistry that you've seen between Josh Allen and Cole Beasley so far this August.
Guys, I think we might be finding out in the next week that Carlos Hyde is not going to make the Chiefs roster. And if that's the case, Darwin Thompson, you can't look at his ADP. You have to take him in the 11th or 12th round. He's not going to last until later. I think that eventually he could take this job over from Damian Williams. I'm not saying he looks like the best running back yet, but he could absolutely be a star in Andy Reid's offense if anything was to happen to Williams, or if they just move on from him and say they want to get Darwin Thompson more touches. Him and Tony Pollard, I don't think you can wait for them. They've got a lot of upside. It's not much draft capital wasted, so I like them both quite a bit. Obviously, my favorite guy is Justice Hill. I've talked about him over and over. If you want to see the elaboration on why I'm drafting Justice Hill in this range, you can listen to virtually any other episode. Tags, why don't you give us a few names? And actually, before you do, let me ask you this, okay? At what point do you turn from drafting depth, you know, your wide receiver 4, wide receiver 5, someone that you might actually use in weeks 1 through 3 at running back, to turn into these high upside guys that you know have no impact and you'll probably end up dropping unless an injury happens to someone ahead of them?
Oh, once I have 3 running backs that are like taking up spots on my roster that I know that can contribute, like, I'm very open to taking some upside guys later in drafts. The running back position, I mean, I didn't really plan on it, but I've noticed in drafts so far that I've done this year is that I'm kind of going with that stars and scrubs thing where it's like I'm getting a couple stud running backs and then I'm kind of waiting and just grabbing a bunch of high upside guys. Like you mentioned Justice Hill. He's one of those guys, like Damian Harris, Mike Davis. Like, these are all guys that are just like, you know, if there's an injury in front of them, Mike Davis is one who's continually undervalued just because he has 2 running back handcuff ability. Whereas Tariq Cohen goes down, he's going to take on some of that passing work. If David Montgomery were to go down, he's going to walk into that Jordan Howard role. So both are very valuable positions. I'm definitely like taking a couple studs and then waiting at the running back position. But you know, if you're looking for like one of my favorite late round sleepers, Anthony Miller is going outside the top 11 rounds right now. His ADP is outside the top 130.
Surprise, surprise.
He's a player that, you know, Jeff Ratcliffe came on the show the other day, so I wanted to know that I wasn't alone in it, but he has some Odell Beckham type traits where it's like the guy naturally separates. He plays with that chip on his shoulder. He's a quick twitch mover. He lines up in the slot against, you know, nickel cornerbacks that aren't on the field all the time. He scored 7 touchdowns last year on 55 targets while playing through a dislocated shoulder 5 or 6 times. He also had a broken foot at the end of his Memphis career. So there's so many reasons that Anthony Miller has the potential to break out, especially if you don't believe in Allen Robinson as a top 30 wide receiver. You'd better get on board with Anthony Miller as a top, like he has the ability to finish as that top 30 wide receiver.
I know you're loving this Anthony Miller talk, aren't you, Adam?
Yeah, I'm like, preach. This is exactly. And you know what? And if Mitch Trubisky continues to
progress
as a quarterback, and I really do believe that he will. I know a lot of people want to dismiss him. That's the NFL now. Like, if you're not already an NFL superstar by the time that you're a third-year starter or a second-year starter even, then your career is over. I really do believe that this is legitimately Trubisky's second year as a starting quarterback, because I don't really count what was happening with John Fox.
Yeah, he was throwing 12 passes a game.
Yeah, that barely counted. Like, Dowell Loggins. Like, that's the one thing. I'm surprised they must not let Dowell Loggins into the building in New York, because Sam Darnold looks so good. I'm like, what are they? Dowell's not on the staff, right? They took his key card and we're like, oh yeah, bro, we practice in Miami. Go down there. So it's interesting to see that happen. But honestly, like, and again, everybody knows there is that the kid who breaks down the videos. He does a great job too, by the way. But they had that Mitch Trubisky video breaking down his mechanics. I don't know if Mitch is good or not. And one of the most telling things in that video is they showed that play in the playoffs where in the fourth quarter, Mitch Trubisky misses a read. Allen Robinson was wide open. And if they would have connected on that play, they would have extended a drive. They wouldn't have allowed the Eagles to drive down the field. Who knows what would have happened? The Bears win the Super Bowl. Probably. So you look at it. But when they needed to win the game, when they needed Trubisky to go out there and lead them down the field, they dialed up the same play, a little bit different formation, but the same play. And Trubisky absolutely nails the throw, nailed the read. And it shows me that he's very coachable. And so I do believe that he's going to come out and surprise a lot of people this season. He's going to have a great year. And one of the biggest benefactors will be Tony Miller. And I'm going to be grabbing them late in drafts, and everybody's going to make they're going to hoot and holler and call me a homer. And I'm going to say, so be it. I'm going to go out there because I want to win fantasy football games. And I get the benefit of doing it with one of the players of the Chicago Bears.
I don't think that anybody who's come on this show has talked down on Mitch Trubisky. We're all believers in Mitch Trubisky, mostly because he's tied to Matt Nagy. Matt Nagy is a very good offensive mind. He's finally going to be with, you know, these. Allen Robinson came in last year. Trey Burton came in last year. Anthony Miller was a rookie last year. I just think this Bears offense is going to take off this year. Now, a couple other guys that I've liked. If I don't have a tight end by now, Austin Hooper is the guy I'm targeting. Devontae Parker, David Moore, my late round wide receivers. I talked about Justice Hill, Tony Pollard, Darwin Thompson. A couple other guys in that same breath. Malcolm Brown, Justin Jackson. You know, guys who could really take off if anything happens to the starter. Matt Breida, that's probably a little bit earlier. And then Reichwell Armstead, he's the direct backup now that Alfred Blue is hurt behind Leonard Fournette. And I like Reichwell Armstead. He runs a lot like Chris Carson to me. This is going to be a run-heavy offense. Offensive line was hurt last year. So those are the guys I like. Now, Adam, before we end the show, I haven't heard you talk about any quarterbacks, really. If you don't draft a quarterback until the late rounds, do you have one that you're targeting or a couple that you like?
Well, definitely. If I'm in that 7th round and Matt Ryan happens to fall to me, I will look at him. I do like Lamar Jackson this year. I think that Greg Roman coming in as the offensive coordinator is a huge move for them, of course. He was the offensive coordinator for Colin Kaepernick when the San Francisco 49ers went to the Super Bowl. So I think that he could have a nice effect on him, especially when you add a guy like Mark Ingram to a team that was already pretty good. So I look at him. I'm not afraid of Kyler Murray. His ADP, though, is getting out of control. Thankfully, he had that bad preseason game in week 2. So that was able to, you know, kind of stabilize his ADP a little bit. But I'm looking at him. And again, if you fall really late, And it's time to panic on a quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger just seems to always be there. And if I have to wait to double-digit rounds, like if I go with Travis Kelce, as we talked about earlier, you have to wait for a quarterback in that spot. double-digit rounds. I'll take Ben Roethlisberger again. The revenge body thing is a real deal with Roethlisberger. It, that narrative might not fly, like you said, with everybody else, but I think with the Steelers, it's spot on.
Tags, I meant to ask you this earlier, but with Ronald Jones getting hurt, is there a chance that Dare is going to start for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? And if he does, I mean, obviously you'd want to be tied to Bruce Arians' offense, right?
You do, but he's someone that I'm willing to take the chance that I'll bid on waivers, you know, if I see him as that guy, or if you want to take him with like a final pick or something like that. There's quite a few guys that I feel that way about. But this just seems like it's more like turning into an ugly timeshare. And this is the part of the reason that I like OJ Howard so much, is because there's no front runner for targets here. And we know that the running back and tight end targets correlate with each other. So knowing that they don't have that like pass catching running back to take up like, you know, 80 targets, 90 targets like some of these teams do, OJ Howard is going to get a lot of targets this year if he's on the field.
By the way, I didn't even try his last name. I was really hoping you would pick up my slack there. I have no idea how to pronounce it. Anyone?
That's all you.
Yeah. Okay. All right, guys, that's all for today's show. Adam, we really appreciate you coming on. Every time you do, it's a pleasure, and I guarantee our listeners love it.
Oh my gosh, the pleasure was all on this side of the computer I'm recording this from, so appreciate we were able to do it. Sorry that I missed you earlier this summer, but we're here now, and it was a lot of fun. And again, I love your guys' site. I probably shouldn't be putting it over, but I'm a man of the world. I don't run from other good analysis or anything like that. And I like to really just soak in all the good knowledge and everything that's going on. And you guys do a great job. And so I appreciate you. And so at any time that I could come on to chop it up with you guys, I'm happy to do it. I look forward to a great fantasy football season, and hopefully we can do this again really soon.
That sounds great. And thank you for saying all that, Adam. Take care.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, guys. And I want to say thanks to the sponsors of today's show, Hooters, where you can reserve your spot for a live draft party at fantasypros.com/Hooters. And Flea Flicker, the fantasy site built for commissioners by commissioners. It's 100% free. Check it out at fleaflicker.com/pros today. And Fantasy Draft, where they've got the incredible $1 million rake-free contest. You can get a 7-day free trial to enter that with the promo code FANTASYPROS at fantasydraft.com. Again, that's fantasydraft.com, promo code FANTASYPROS. And make sure to check out our draft simulator at fantasypros.com/simulator. And add us on Instagram. Make an account so you don't miss out on future advice. At Fantasy Pros, at Mike Taglier NFL, and at Bobby Sylvester. For Adam Rank and Mike Taglier, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home, where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Ready, set, griddle this grilling season. Get the Weber Slate Rust Resistant Griddle with a carbon steel cooktop that's safe for metal tools. It's pre-seasoned and ready to cook on right out of the box. It's the griddle that stays ready, not rusty. This griddle heats evenly edge to edge. It reaches up to 500 degrees. The Weber Works Prep cook and store system keeps cooking supplies handy, and you can carry all the food, condiments, and utensils you need. Get fired up for your new Weber Slate Rust Resistant.